Amen, amen. Let's pray together this morning. Father God, it's such a powerful thing when we sing these things together, when we declare these things together, God. It's your breath in our lungs. It's your strength in our bones. It's you in us that allows us to live, God. It's that we are created in your image, that we are here, Father. And we bow before you in that. We submit to you in that. We worship you in that. And God, so often we try to take that control back. We try to pretend that it's me, it's my strength, it's my abilities. But God, it's you. It's all you living through us, God. And we thank you for that. And as we are here this morning together, we declare that together. And it's your spirit that draws us together as well. And we thank you for that. But God, we know of who you are by creation, by your spirit, and by your word. And this morning, as we study your word, we pray that you would speak. That you would help us to see you a little more clearly. That we would be able to reflect you a little better. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, that was beautiful this morning. Thank you, worship team. And yeah, I just want to join Pastor Dennis in saying that it is such an honor and a privilege to serve in this church where you are so invested in what is happening here, that it isn't us as staff driving everything or making everything happen. It is you feeling that this is your church, that you have responsibility and opportunity to serve here as well. And it's such a joy to be able to serve alongside that. And so thank you again, and to our worship team this morning and so many others that are involved in ministry here. It is a joy and a pleasure to do ministry here, to serve God here together with you. But this morning we are going to be starting our new sermon series for the summer. We wrapped up what we've been walking through this year, our Believe series, and that was an amazing journey as we kind of looked at what it means to think and act and be like Jesus. And then we spent a couple of weeks just kind of going through the vision and the direction for our church as we were having our annual general meeting and Father's Day, kind of that weird in-between time of series, and just an opportunity to refocus and just understand a little bit deeper again what it means for us to walk intimately with God and invite others to journey with us. That's been our mission forever. And that's something that we try to do. That's something we try to live. And so we talked about that for a couple of weeks. But now we're going to be digging into our summer series, the thing that we're going to be kind of walking through until the beginning of September. And I'm really, really excited because we're going to be doing a series that Pastor Dennis and I have been talking about for years now. We have been wanting for so long to be doing a Sunday School Stories sermon series. And so finally, we're going to take the chance to look back at some classic Sunday school stories, stories that you would have learned and heard as a child, and we're going to come back to them and see what they have to speak to us today. These are our stories are wonderful examples of God's power and love, and as kids, we learned a lot from them. These are powerful examples of who God is. And as a child, it was so meaningful to see these incredible pictures painted of who God is. But many times, I think, at least it's true for me anyways, I think we remember these stories a lot better than we actually do, because we maybe saw the VeggieTales videos, or we remember the flannel graphs, and yeah, I remember these stories. But they might not be quite as familiar as you thought, or at least what God speaks through them now at whatever phase of life you're at is going to be a lot different than what he spoke to you when you were 5 and 6 and 7 and 10. You heard what you needed to hear at those ages, but as an adult, I think we maybe pass these stories over because, well, those are kids' stories. Daniel and the lion's den, yeah, I remember that story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, yeah, I remember that one. Samson, yeah, he was like Hercules, right? Great hair and really strong or something, right? Something along those, Delilah or something. We remember the broad strokes. But when's the last time you went back and really dug into those stories? Because God put them in Scripture. in his word for all time. He recorded these specific stories for us. And for us to just gloss over them or dismiss them as those are great for kids misses what he's trying to do, what he's trying to tell us. These aren't just fun hero stories for kids, but these show us who he is. They're fun and exciting, but they're important. What they communicate to us about who God is and who we are is a huge deal. So we're going to look at 10 or 11 of these classic stories throughout the summer. Stories like Cain and Abel, Samson and Delilah, Moses and the golden calf, Gideon, Joshua, and the Battle of Jericho. And each of these stories shows us something incredible and challenging about who God is and what he's doing. But what I want, I'm hoping for, as much as you learning from whatever we're talking about here, is that you feel inspired. Because again, we're catching just a few. But I want you to feel inspired to go back and look at other Sunday school stories and see how God would speak through them now to you. Because this book is full of stories. Wonderful, amazing stories. And if it's been a while, and even if it hasn't, go back and see what God can speak to you today. The title of our series, as Pastor Dennis mentioned, is Yesterday, Today, and Forever, Stories of God. And the reason we chose that instead of like a Sunday school theme or something is the fact that we want to realize, as we read these stories, some of which happened thousands of years ago in very different places, in very different contexts, to people we imagine are very different from ourselves. What we want to understand is the fact that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same always. He is the same God today as he was in the beginning. He never, ever changes. The God of Cain and Abel, the God of Moses and Joshua, the God of Isaiah and Esther is the same God we worship here in this room today. So often we fall into that old lie of an angry Old Testament God and a loving New Testament God. Jesus shows us that. We remember the stories of God from the Old Testament through that lens. Judgment and punishment, anger and jealousy and vengeance. And it's just not true. God does bring judgment and punishment, but it's always in love. In a desire to be in relationship with his people, with his creation, with us. God's love, not hate. And if we want to know him, we have to understand these stories, his story. So that's what we're going to try to do. And this morning, we're going to start with a great one. Cain and Abel, Genesis chapter 4, you can turn there. Murder and jealousy and secrets and lies, the stuff of the greatest stories. Maybe if it didn't hit so close to home as we go through it, though. But let's read this together. Genesis chapter 4, right at the front of your Bible, if you're unfamiliar. Just a few pages in, right after the index there. Page 4 in my Bible. I don't know if that'll be helpful to you or not. There we go. Genesis chapter 4. There's a sex part here, so you can close your ears if you want to at the beginning. Genesis chapter 4. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. The Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. To be honest, when we talked about doing a Sunday School Stories series, I thought it would be really fun and easy. These are fun stories to tell. And when you just think back to the simple ways we learned these stories as kids, it is easier. But when you actually read them and dig in, these stories are huge. There's so much here. But where are we? Adam and Eve rejected God in the Garden of Eden, and they chose selfishness and insecurity, pride and control. And they were thrown from paradise, cut off from the deepest and most incredible relationship with their Creator. They went from walking with God in the cool of the day to being sent out into the wide world to struggle and toil in a way God never wanted for them. But he didn't abandon them. Life moved on, and they had children, Cain and Abel and others, still fulfilling God's desire for humanity to be fruitful and multiply as he designed. Sin is enormously destructive, but God's creation is still good. And we are still made in his image. And he still desires to have relationship with us and to see us live and grow and thrive in worship of him. Cain and Abel are born, and Adam and Eve would have taught them about God, told them who God is, told them stories about walking with God in the garden. And maybe they even had their own relationship and experience of God. I don't know what that would have looked like. Similar maybe in some way to the way that their father and mother had in the Garden of Eden. Less so, obviously, because sin was present there. But maybe God was still speaking to them. I mean, later in the story, God speaks directly to Cain. And he doesn't seem surprised. It doesn't seem unfamiliar to him. He doesn't fall down in terror and confusion as we see in so many other places in scriptural. It seems normal. So maybe they learned of God from their parents. I'm sure they did. But maybe Cain and Abel also had some kind of personal experience of who God is. In any case, we don't really know what that looked like, but the boys grew up and they chose paths for their lives. Cain became a farmer, and Abel a shepherd. And they lived with what God had designed again. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Live. Create. And in time, Cain decides that he wants to make a sacrifice to God in worship. Or maybe he's told to. I don't know. And Abel follows him, and Cain brings some of his crops. And Abel brings his best. The best of his, and first of his flock. And so we read then, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Now let's hold on there just for a second. I love the Bible so much, and we read these stories two-dimensionally so easily, where we just kind of read what's there and take it and go. We got to look at these stories and see what is actually happening here, because it leaves so much unsaid. God rejected Cain's offering. We read that and we accept it. What on earth does that mean? Have you ever had a tithe rejected by God? Have you ever had a sense of what that would look like? When you read the Bible, don't just breeze through. Ask questions. What does it mean that God rejected Cain's sacrifice? What did that look like? How did he know? Did they just sense something? Maybe Cain was restless in his heart. Maybe it wouldn't light on fire or something. I don't know. In a kid's Bible I had growing up, there was a picture of this moment. And Abel's offering was on a little altar there, and the smoke was rising up to heaven in worship of God. And Cain's was on a shoddy, sad little altar, and the smoke was like spilling down onto the ground, showing that God rejected it. I don't know if that picture is canon, if that's inspired or not, but it's good enough for me. I don't know. What did that look like? But somehow Cain knew that God was not pleased. And he was mad. And as much as we want to focus this summer on the fact that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, how true is that of us too? We haven't changed a bit. So often being called out on our sin doesn't lead us to repentance, but anger and bitterness. So much of Cain's response is so easily true of us. Wasn't that God prefers animals to plants or anything so silly? From the beginning of creation, God has desired our hearts. And if he has your heart, you will bring your best. For some reason, Cain was going through the motions. He was doing something he thought he had to do, maybe an obligation, a burden, while Abel brought worship. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has always wanted our hearts. God has deserved and does deserve our first and our best. That was true in this story at the beginning of our journey with him, and it was true thousands of years in the future. It was repeated over and over all through Scripture. David, King David says in Psalm 51, thousands of years later, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Later again, the prophet Isaiah reminds God's people in Isaiah 29, the Lord says, "These people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me based on human rules they've been taught." Cain's story is true in David's time, and Isaiah's time, and Jesus' time, and in this room today. God wants your heart. And our worship has to come from there. It's not about right actions, it's a right spirit. And when we try to fake it, we feel empty. Even angry. I've felt it. When my heart isn't in the right place. Come on, isn't this good enough? I know I've got this unconfessed sin in my life. the secret stuff that I like doing and I want to hold on to it. Just let me sing some songs and get out of here. We feel agitated. We feel angry. We feel defensive. When we see others worshiping in freedom, we don't beg for forgiveness. We get mad at them too. Anything to avoid looking at the real problem at our own heart. Blame God, blame others, blame anyone. So I don't have to face my own sin. But God's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, today, he shows mercy and love to Cain. He asks him, "Why are you angry?" I don't think he yelled. I think he was gentle. "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you don't, sin is crouching at your door." He's warning him. It desires to have you. You must rule over it. Confess, Cain. Submit, please. God is always pursuing us. He knows what is best for us, that he is what's best for us. And he wants us to find that and know that, embrace that, to choose him instead of ourselves. To give up our sin, to trust him, to follow him. He warns Cain. He sees the path Cain is choosing. Path of bitterness and anger that's growing in his heart. He doesn't punish him. He tries to help him. To correct him. To show him the way to true life. If you don't do what's right, sin is crouching at your door. And so Cain looked at his own heart. And realized that his problem wasn't with Abel, but with himself. And he sought forgiveness and change, and everything was fine forever. No. The story is so powerful because it's so me. It's so our story. It's a trap that we can fall into so easily. Cain is so overwhelmed with jealousy and anger that he takes his brother out into the field and murders him. He is so unwilling to look at his own heart that he kills his brother. How did he feel in that moment? Breathing hard, standing over his brother's body. Did that help? Did that fix anything? If we don't deal with our sin, it will drive us to places we couldn't imagine we would go. And again, God comes to Cain gently. "Where is your brother?" And we get that most famous line, "I don't know, am I my brother's keeper?" Just like his father, Cain tries to lie and hide from God in plain sight. Just like Cain's parents, God offers Cain a chance to confess and repent. And just like his parents, he doesn't. And just like his parents, he's cast out of God's presence into the wilderness. Because God is angry, vindictive, callous, cruel, this Old Testament God? No, all God wants is for Cain to repent. But sin brings consequence. The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." And still, Cain doesn't repent. His only complaint is that the punishment is too harsh. And still, God shows mercy. God loves us yesterday, today, and forever. He never wants to punish us, to hurt us. He always wants us to come back. It's correction, not vindictive. So he shows mercy to Cain again, and he promises that he will protect his life. And Cain, still unwilling to pour out the sin in his heart, walks away from God's presence. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod. I don't remember all that from Sunday school. Never hit me that hard. Murder is bad. That's what I remember. But this story isn't about murder. It's about the power of sin to completely destroy our hearts. It's easy to just dismiss this and say, well, I don't struggle with murder, so I'm fine then, I guess. Cain's sin wasn't murder. It was jealousy. It was selfishness. It was bitterness. It was faking a relationship with God. False worship. Things we all struggle with at different times. So about our worship needing to come from a place of true submission and relationship with God. It's about our need for repentance and healing with God and with one another. If Cain could have talked to his brother, asked forgiveness from his brother. It's about our need for God's love to be so present and real in our lives. It's about God pursuing us over and over and over again. Even in this one story, God tries to give Cain the chance to do the right thing, to own his sin, to tell God that he is broken and jealous and selfish and angry. Verse 6, why are you angry? If you do what's right, you'll be accepted. Verse 9, where is your brother? Please tell me, for your sake, I know where he is. I need you to confess it. Verse 10, what have you done? Please confess it for your heart's sake. And even then, when God punishes Cain, he shows mercy. Verse 15, the Lord put a mark on Cain so no one who found him would kill him. Mercy and love and patience of God extends on and on and on. He wants your heart. He wanted Cain's heart from the beginning. And he never had it. Cain chose pride and selfishness over humility and submission. He chose himself over God. He tried to do the right things, the right actions, the right ceremonies and rituals, but that has never been God's purpose for us. We are born into sin and a heart that is fearful and prideful and selfish, and unless you give that to God, you will never know peace. And you will wander in the wilderness with Cain. But God is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, and he loves you, and he pursues you, and he wants to be with you, and for you to live a life that is whole, full of love and joy and him. Cain wasn't any more evil than I am, or than I could be. He just couldn't let go. Can you? Pray together. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these stories. I thank you for these examples that you give us that so clearly show us who we are, that so clearly show us what sin looks like and what is happening in our hearts when we don't submit, when we don't confess, when we don't follow you. And God, we thank you for these examples of how far you are willing to go, how far you pursue us, how far you desire for us to be in relationship with you. How badly you want us to just say it. Just tell you what's on our heart. And how far we will go to try to hide that. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your Spirit that can reveal these things to us. Father, I pray that you would move this morning in each of us and show us those places in our heart that we haven't given to you. That sin, those secrets, those places that we are unwilling to submit. God, I just pray that you would gently ask us, can you trust me? Can you give that peace to me too? God, I pray that you would give us the strength to do that, that we can live in freedom, not be sent out into the wilderness. Amen.